I'd ask you to please turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 9 and verse 9. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And then verse 12, But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And the subject before us this evening, just for a short while, is the physician for all conditions. We read in the beginning part of the chapter how the Lord Jesus healed the paralytic man. We saw the power of the Lord Jesus there in that passage to heal the helpless, a paralytic man, absolutely totally helpless, brought to Jesus in faith by his friends, and an event which amazed all that looked on. They came, these friends, with a determination and faith, and the inspiration of their faith was the Lord Jesus Christ and no one else. They must get this man, they must get their friend to Jesus. And only as he came to Jesus would his problem be solved. And we see the blessing of faith. This man was healed both spiritually and physically. His man's sins were forgiven him. What a testimony those four men had in their bringing their friend to the Lord Jesus. What a double blessing. Not only was he healed physically, but this man was healed spiritually. Oh, and it is this forgiveness of sins which provides us with a link to the next event, where we hear a read about the call of Matthew, a most remarkable call. We think first of all of his occupation. We know that Matthew actually was at the receipt of customs. He was actually a tax collector. Matthew would have been considered at that time, at the receipt of custom, he was considered to be a traitor by the Jews. He was collecting taxes on behalf of their occupiers, the Romans. And in so doing, he was considered as a traitor. In actual fact, Matthew was excluded from the synagogue. He couldn't go to worship on the Sabbath. He was excluded. He was in a legal but corrupt system. And no doubt, before his conversion, Matthew was involved in the corruption of that system. But this man, Matthew, it would appear, must have heard about Jesus. Because if we turn back to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23, we read that Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sicknesses and manner of diseases among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with the devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. So we see at this stage of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, it had developed incredibly. He was becoming so well known. And so it was that Matthew thought about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he must have assessed his condition before a holy God. He understood his need of Christ. He understood what faith meant. And that it meant his whole being trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in this great work of regeneration, the work of the Holy Spirit working in Matthew, so it was when Jesus passed by in the perfect timing of God, when Jesus said, Follow me, he followed him. And this was a call of grace, not only a call to serve the Lord Jesus, but it was also undoubtedly a part of his call by grace. And it was designed to demonstrate the extent of God's grace. Whoever, yes, even this tax collector, the most unlikely person in town, is touched by the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow me. And he arose and followed him. Well, Matthew obviously was greatly moved and affected by the call of Jesus, because we read he arose and he followed him. And it was a life-transforming call. For Matthew, it meant giving up his livelihood. He could no longer be involved in this type of system. He was called to follow Jesus wherever. But I notice here how the Lord Jesus Christ said, follow me, follow me. Now, Matthew followed a person. He followed a person. And the power of the call lay in the person. It wasn't simply the words, follow me. The power of the words, follow me, the power behind the words, follow me, lay in the person that gave it, Jesus Christ. And he gave that call personally to Matthew. And that is so helpful for us as we examine our lives. Because those of us who have been called by grace, we know that this has happened to us. There's a time when God spoke to us in our own life, and it had a power, an effect upon our lives. We had perhaps heard the gospel preached hundreds of times before. We've been to hundreds and hundreds of services, but it was only when God sent that word with power, and there was a follow me that came to us with power and effect, just like Matthew. Oh, the power then was in the person who gave the words. Well, Christian faith is to follow a person. Follow a person. It's about relationship. We have a relationship with the Son of God. As we consider this evening, we consider Christ's exhibition of love. Who are we following? Well, Christ's great exhibition of love was at Calvary. There he offered up his body willingly, obeying his Father's will, to suffer, bleed, and die for all those who would put their trust in him. And it is this person, his person who has suffered the eternal punishment on behalf of needy sinners, this person who has died as the perfect sacrifice on behalf of needy sinners, it's Jesus who says, follow me. It's Jesus who says, follow me. So it is who I am, what I say, and what I have done. Three aspects to this call. Who I am, I'm the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. That's who I am. What do I say? Follow me. What authority do I have in addition to who I am? What I've done. I've died for sinners. I've suffered for sinners. So he has the authority to say to us this evening, follow me. And the power of the call is in the person who gives the call, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christian faith is to follow a person. It's not just to follow a theology. It's to follow a person. It's about relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as our Savior, as our Lord, as our friend. And that is what Matthew found. It was a personal call. It was very personal. It was very direct. Jesus saw a man named Matthew. And just at the right time, in God's perfect timing, according to God's sovereign grace, Matthew receives the call, follow me. But I believe that there would have been some preparation, undoubtedly, in the mind of Matthew, in the heart of Matthew. There would have been a preparation, a stirring in the conscience, a stirring in the heart, an assessing of the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, And all this culminated in the perfect call of God. Follow me. Well, we know that some conversions are almost immediate, like the Apostle Paul, when he was met by the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. But generally, as we receive the call of God to follow him, God in his mercy and sovereignty has done a lot of preparation to prepare us, and so the effectual call comes to follow him, and there's a willingness to come, a corresponding willingness to come in our mind and in our heart, because the Spirit of God has been working within us. And we see this then with Matthew's testimony in verse 10. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat up meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Oh, the first thing we read of here then is Matthew undoubtedly having Jesus as a guest in his house, in the house, and he invited his friends to come and to eat with him. All his work colleagues, all his friends. Now, these were not believers. They were publicans and sinners came. They were not at that point believers, but he invites them to his house, and the chief guest in this meal is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, friends, we perhaps have a sanitized view of this meal. Perhaps these men were all sitting round politely and having all sorts of... But I expect these men, they'd come in and they'd come to Matthew's house. Well, probably they'd been many times before to Matthew's house, and the sort of meals they had before this meal would perhaps be quite riotous meals, you know, probably a lot of drink and all that sort of thing. But now there's a difference because there's a different man there, the Lord Jesus. And his presence makes a difference. But I expect these men had all sorts of conversation at that meal. And the Lord Jesus, untainted, sat there. But undoubted, when Jesus spoke to them, he spoke to them as sinners. Because the Pharisees saw this meal going on. And they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? What's your master doing? Look at the man he's got round him. We wouldn't be seen in the same room with these men. They're tax collectors, they're sinners. They're known to be sinners. And look, your master is sitting with them. He's eating with them. He's talking with them. And we know that they were sinners. We know that they were, at that point, unconverted men. Apart from Matthew. Because Jesus says so. Go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Notice that. Sinners to repentance. Yes. And oh, how merciful the Lord Jesus Christ is to sit at a table full of sinners. They probably maybe were using uncouth language. They may have been swearing. They may have been using all sorts of... they may have been telling bad jokes. All sorts of things. They weren't sanitized. These men weren't self-righteous. They were not like the Pharisees. They didn't put on a show, friends. They didn't sort of say to the Lord Jesus, oh, we'd better put on a show as though we're all righteous men, when really underneath their hearts were desperately wicked. These men, what they were, they showed for what they were sinners, and they were publicans. But Jesus spoke to them. Jesus ministered to them. He preached the gospel to them. Because he is the wise physician. He is the physician for all conditions, and he met them at their point of need. And Matthew's testimony is most remarkable. He identified directly with the Lord Jesus, with his friends. What a blessing Matthew was to his friends, introducing the Lord Jesus to them. Well, the Pharisees was scandalized by this. How could Jesus mix with sinners like this? It broke their rules. Well, of course, it showed that these Pharisees were only concerned with the outside, not the inside. They were only concerned with all the rules, following the rules. But the Lord Jesus told these Pharisees, you know, that you're inside. You're like a sepulchre. You're just like a dead man's bones. You're dead within yourself. It's all a show. It's all on the outside. And it's like an illustration I use sometimes about the Queen Mary. You know, the Queen Mary in 1936 was the largest ship to cross the Atlantic. Finally, Queen Mary went out of service and it docked in California. And it was converted into a museum. But after a while, three of the funnels, these huge great funnels, they collapsed on the dockside in a wind. And whatever's caused this? Well, they found that around these funnels was 30 coats of paint. 30 coats of paint. But inside the paint, the iron had rusted away. And so actually all it was a shell. It looked like a funnel, but there was no iron inside. It all rotted away. So when a heavy wind came, they just blew over. But they looked good. They looked all right. And the Pharisees were quite happy to be considered righteous, but they really weren't righteous. And Jesus said, I haven't come to call you, because you're already self-sufficient. You already feel you're good enough. You don't need a saviour. And you're not convicted of your sin. You don't need to feel the need of repentance. But these men that I'm talking to, these sinners, I'm talking to them, and I've come to call them to repentance. I've come to tell them that actually, do you know what? Your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and who can know it? And you are facing an eternal eternity in hell if you do not repent of your sin and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I have come to save sinners just like you. I've come to save publicans and sinners. I've come to save the very worst of sinners. Paul thought he was the very worst of sinners. Isn't that wonderful this evening? This wise physician, this Jesus, is a physician for all conditions. And whatever you've been involved in your life, whatever's going on in the secret places of your heart, even this evening, please remember one thing. Jesus is the physician for all conditions, and he is ready and he is willing to save unto the uttermost. And so this comparison is made between the whole and the sick. But when verse 12, but when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but those that are sick. Go ye and learn what that meaneth. What do I mean by this expression? I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The sick are those who know they are sinners. The whole here in this particular illustration are those who don't think they are sinners, who don't think they need salvation. They think they're okay, they're self-righteous. This is how Jesus is explaining this. But he said, I'm not come to call such people. The self-important, the ones that are independent. Do you know who I've come to call? I've come to call sinners. I've come to call sinners that need salvation. The sick. And this was the great purpose of the ministry of Jesus. I have come to call sinners to repentance. What do we mean by sinners? Well, it's those that miss the mark of God's standard. And we do this every day, sadly. There was a man once who was shooting arrows. And after he shot an arrow, he would go and draw a circle around the arrow. And of course, he always hit the bullseye because he was drawing the circle after he'd shot the arrow. Some people make their standards like that. Oh, it's not that bad, really. I've done this, but God's a loving God, and I'm sure he's a tolerant God. So they draw a circle around the sin and say, it's okay, I've met God's standards, because God's standard is really a bit of a flexible standard. But when we come to repentance, that is, we come to realize the sad state that we are in as a sinner and the great problem of unbelief, it is because we've been convicted of our sin. And we understand we're responsible for our sin. And we're taught the consequence of sin is hell. And we understand our dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. So this text that we have takes on a wonderful meaning. Because this Savior, this physician, says, I will have mercy. I will have mercy. I will have mercy on sinners. Oh, and he says, learn what this means. Learn this lesson well. Let it sink right down into your hearts this evening. May God open our hearts to receive his word this evening. And learn what Jesus is saying this evening. The wise physician, the physician for all conditions, is saying, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I am not come to call the righteous. I've come to call sinners. Sinners to repentance. Finally this evening, imagine one consultant in a hospital who specialized in everything. Now, if we have certain conditions, we have to go to different consultants, don't we? You know, you have there's all different departments in a hospital. But you would never been, has there, a consultant that's a specialist in every condition? An all-in-one specialist. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a great physician, is one that specializes in every condition. So this evening, whatever condition you are in this evening, whatever place you find yourself in this evening, Jesus is a specialist in that condition. He's a specialist for all conditions. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. There's no case this evening, there's no condition this evening that's too hard for him. And if you come just as you are, he will not turn you away. He knows all about you in the first place. He's a specialist. You can come to him with that assurance. He's a specialist. He specializes in your condition. He knows exactly how to deal with you. And as a great physician, he understands every condition. He's not only a specialist having a knowledge of your condition. And this is something that a consultant cannot do, humanly speaking, really enter into that condition, understand that condition in a feeling way. But Jesus can. He not only specializes, he has a knowledge of your condition, he understands your condition. He's an all-in-one expert. And as the great physician, he is able then to deal with every condition. And this is what the picture of the healing of Jesus is meant to teach us. We read, and I read to you in Matthew 4, of all the different diseases Jesus was healing people of. Well, Jesus didn't go around just healing people, as it were, just for the sake of it, to get a name. There was a purpose. He was preaching the gospel, and it was a picture. Yes, Jesus can heal every condition, the leper, the lame, the sick, the blind, the deaf, the dumb. So Jesus can heal every condition of sin as we come to him this evening. It's a picture for us. Consider some of the desperate cases that we've read of the paralytic man. And so you are dead in trespasses and sins. You're just like that paralytic man. You're unable to save yourself. But there is a person that can save you. It's the Lord Jesus. And then we read later on in this chapter 9 how the Lord Jesus raised the little girl from the dead. And that's a picture of how we are spiritually dead. We're not only helpless, but we're spiritually dead. But the Lord Jesus raised this girl from the dead. And it's a picture of the quickening power of the Holy Spirit. And then in the previous chapter, we read how the Lord Jesus healed two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs. They were captives of Satan. And there's a picture of how we are captive to Satan. We're under his dominion and under his power, and we need deliverance. And the only one who can deliver us is the Lord Jesus Christ. But then we read of physical ailments, of a lady that had had a condition, a physical condition for many, many years. And she tried everything. She tried all the physicians, all the consultants that she could think of at that time. And she spent all her money trying to get better. And there was disappointment after disappointment until she met with Jesus. And so it is with us. We can try all sorts of reasonings and philosophies of life. We can try all sorts of excitements to try and get satisfaction in life. And we come to that same emptiness again, time and time and time and time again. We come back to that emptiness, that feeling of emptiness, until we meet by faith with Jesus. And he makes all the difference, because he is the wise physician. He is the physician for all conditions. And he calls us this evening, just like he called Matthew, follow me. Follow me, trust in me, follow me. I am the physician for all conditions. And you are sick with sin, and what you need is a physician. And there is only one physician that can heal you, and that is the Lord Jesus. And that is why it is so important and vital this evening to look to him, to trust in him. He is the only wise physician. He is the only physician. He is the physician for all conditions. And he said, I have not come to call the righteous. If you're sitting here this evening saying, well, I don't really need the Lord Jesus. I don't really need him in my life. I don't really need to follow him. You're saying that you're righteous in and of yourself, or you can make your own way in life, just like the Pharisees. But Jesus said, I've come to call sinners, those who understand what they are before a holy God, their need of a Saviour, and just such people I've come to call, sinners to repentance, to come and believe in me, the Son of God, the Saviour of the world. Let's turn to our hymn books this evening. We're going to